Chapter 9. Off Honolulu, February, 1872. At 12 noon precisely, Captain Schmidt stood on the foredeck in front of a half-dozen officers and a score of sailors. The Wilhelm was anchored 300 yards outside Honolulu Harbor, which, despite all the recent dredging and rock wall work, was still little more than a small, reefed basin, created by the natural flow of fresh water from the streams of Nuuanu Valley. He served his apprenticeship 30 years earlier, aboard a 3-mast schooner, when the entrance of the harbor was narrow and lined on either side with reefs. The fact that the channel into the harbor had a northeasterly alignment and the trade winds blew from the northeast made Honolulu Harbor difficult to enter prior to the introduction of steam power ships that could easily slice across the wind and the current. "And now we can go anywhere," mused the captain as he considered his decision about the American colonel for the third time this morning. The seas had been charted, the deserts had been traversed, even the deepest jungles of Africa and Southeast Asia were being mapped. Progress, to be sure, he thought, but at a price. Everything was getting more complicated, and today's proceeding was proof of that. A situation that should have called for nothing more than a direct application of maritime law, as it related to stowaways, had become a diplomatic and legal minefield. If the decision he had reached about Colonel Scoundrel was adjudged by a board of inquiry to have been wrong, he could lose his command and his pension. And if it was correct, the colonel could lose his life. Hobson's choice, he thought, as he adjusted his cap to shield his eyes from the tropical sun. He began to speak as the ship rolled over a swell and the German flag snapped brightly in the breeze across the bow.
"Last night we transited the channel between Hawaii and Maui, and this morning we anchor at the temporary mooring to conclude some important business. I know that you are anxious to enjoy your shore leave, and I will make this process as brief as possible."
He motioned to First Officer Stach, who nudged Thomas and pointed towards the captain. Thomas walked up the stairs and stood at attention in front of Schmidt, who was standing between Father Damien and the diplomat. The fact that he wasn't shackled and his hands hadn't been bound meant he wasn't going to be hung, he hoped. But neither Stock nor any of the soldiers he had befriended in the past week had given him any indication that they knew what the captain had in store for him. He tried to focus on the sharp, cloud-shrouded mountains that rose out of the sea behind and around the town of Honolulu.
"Colonel Thomas Scoundrel," the captain said, "your presence on this vessel raises a host of legal and diplomatic issues that only get thornier the more I consider them. If you were an ordinary citizen, I would hand you over to the Honolulu Constabulary and let them sort it out with the United States Legation. However, you are a senior commanding officer in the United States military and thus could be required to stand trial before a German maritime court where, if found guilty, you could face years in prison or even execution."
The captain let those words sink in. Whatever was about to happen, Thomas was certain it was not going to be pleasant.
"An already complicated situation is compounded many times over by the fact that you are not only a stowaway on His Majesty's flagship, but you may also be a fugitive from justice in the American state of California. I found your story about the after effects of the article you wrote about Mr. Stafford to be both compelling and truthful, but that does not lessen the probability that both Stafford and the legal authorities both wish to—"
he paused and cleared his throat—
"bring you into custody."
The captain shifted his stance and clasped his hands behind his back. The wind was picking up and the sound of breakers crashing on the shore and the cries of seagulls wheeling in the sky above the ship forced him to raise his voice.
"There are two legal paths I could follow," said the captain. "Under maritime law, I could take you back to Germany to await trial as a stowaway on a foreign warship. That course of action is so fraught with layers of possible diplomatic chaos that I shudder to think of following through with it. A famous American war hero, and all the newspapers would have a field day with the story, and Herr Wallenstein would be buried under diplomatic cables from your ambassador for months.
He looked over to the diplomat, who nodded somberly in agreement. Arresting scoundrel would not benefit his career in any way. That much was certain.
Still, the captain went on, I do have that option under the law, and would be completely justified in clapping you in irons today and being done with it.
Thomas searched Stock's face for some clue as to where the captain was headed, but the first officer's face was a stone wall.
The alternative is to have you taken ashore at Honolulu and remanded to the local authorities. The Kingdom of Hawaii would take on the responsibility of communication with American authorities and, once again, my part would be done.
He shook his head and a half-smile crossed his face.
Unfortunately, if I hand you over here, I will also have to file a formal report that Herr Wallenstein would have to send on to Germany. The matter would take many months to resolve on both the American and the German ends, and your State Department and your Foreign Ministry would have no end of questions and concerns. I prefer sailing over negotiating, Colonel, meaning no disrespect, of course, Herr Wallenstein.
Why did you have to row out to my ship, the captain thought, with a sigh before he offered his third possible solution.
There may be another way out of our mutual quandary, Colonel, he finally said. It was presented to me at breakfast this morning by Father Damien.
The priest nodded to Thomas, but his facial expression volunteered nothing. What could a priest know about such matters, Thomas wondered. Good Lord, he wasn't going to suggest that he be set ashore at the leper colony on Molokai. Schmidt saw the cloud cross Thomas's face. It was time to get this over with.
It is my decision that you will not be transported to Berlin to stand trial, Colonel, nor will you be handed over to the Hawaiian government. That being the case, and mindful that my next action must resolve the matter to the complete satisfaction of the Imperial Navy, I have decided.
He paused a moment.
To throw you back to the sea from whence you came. Not unlike what the great fish did when vomiting forth Jonah after 3 days and nights in his belly.
Thomas was bewildered. He was to be vomited forth? Captain Schmidt raised his hand, and four of his tallest, strongest seamen came up alongside Thomas. They lifted him by his arms, carried him to the railing, and tossed him over the side into the gray, foam-flecked sea. Before dismissing the crew, Schmidt turned to Wallenstein.
You disapprove? He asked.
The diplomat struggled to maintain his professional composure. Then he said,
Did it occur to anyone to ask the colonel if he could swim?
The captain walked over to the railing and looked over the side of the ship.
Gott in Himmel, let us hope so, my friend.
He said softly to himself,
There is nothing more I can do for you.